have learned throughout this year that the game is 60 minutes long, right?
Yeah, we have.
It's about time you showed another team it is.
Right. I mean, this happened to us, you know. Washington did this to us. Why can't we do it to somebody else? You know, when we had, once we went back out, when it was 20-7 and we went back out and had that drive and whatever, three or four plays, and, you know, we came off, and it was funny because we, right then and there, I mean, we knew we had new life, but I remember Marco Rivera looked at me and he said, hey, he goes, Washington did this to us. Why can't we do it to them? You know, and he was right. And nobody lost faith. Everybody just hung in there, and we were just waiting for something to happen. Unfortunately, we were waiting for something to happen, but it did. And we made some plays when we had to, and then, of course, Roy comes out with that huge play and bails us out there at the end.
I'm working on a new football theory, Dan, and it goes something like this. The 13-point lead is the most dangerous lead in football because if you have a 13-point lead, you think the game's in the bag. But it's really not that big a lead, and we've learned that in the Washington game, and then we learned it last night. What do you think of that theory?
Man, I would agree with that. I would. Because, you know, if it's 14, okay, hey, you're definitely two scores up. And worst-case scenario, you're probably going to go into OT. But, man, 13, that is the truth, because that's exactly how it was at Washington when we were up 13-0. And, you feel good because you're up, but at the same time, you know, man, two touchdowns and it's over. This thing's over. We lose this game. And so I think when you have a 13-point lead, you just kind of, if you're not building on that lead, you just kind of, you're buying time because it's only a matter of time before your opponent is going to be able to strike back if you're not doing something about it, especially if you're starting to play conservative.
You know, one of the reasons we love having the Dan Campbell Show is because Dan is not your typical cliche-filled answer. He generally says what's on his mind, and I so enjoyed listening to the station this morning because they were playing back your comments in the locker room. So let me see if I can recreate this and just ask you a media question, and maybe you will be so kind as to offer up the similar answer as you did yesterday, and it is the following. So how'd you guys play tonight, Dan?
We played like crap.
See, he doesn't mince words. Exactly like you did it last night. You're a pro. No, but seriously, you guys felt like you had no business winning that game for 57 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we didn't play well enough to win that game, except for those last 3.5 minutes. And, you know, it is a 60-minute game. And those guys, I mean, they had us on the ropes, and, you know, I equate it to a boxer. You know, you can take jabs all night. You take jabs all night. You take jabs, and you're not doing anything. You're not firing back. You're not landing anything. And all of a sudden, you throw one uppercut, and you knock them down. And then you see them laying down on the ground, and they get up. But once they're already down, you realize, all right, this is a completely different match now. This is the last round, but it doesn't matter. You know that you got them on the ropes and that you're back in this thing, and that's what happened last night. They had a chance to put us away, and they didn't do it.
Why do you think you came out flat?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question because I don't know if I want to say that we were necessarily flat. Now, yeah, we didn't play well, but those guys, those guys had an answer for us on just, like, offensively. There was a lot of plays we were running where, I mean, they had the right defense called up every time. And it wasn't like we were doing necessarily the same old stuff that we do every week. I mean, there was, at one point, I remember we were getting ready to run a screen that we hadn't run all year out of a certain formation. It's a completely different formation. The defensive tackle stands up and points to that side and says, screen's going this way, and they're all looking at each other, slapping arms and everything else like they've got a signal. So I don't know, it was like they were on top of everything we were doing, and yes, on top of that, I mean, we were a little flat. I just, you know, when you go 2 weeks without hitting, really. It's been 2 weeks since you had a game. And just trying to get back in the groove of, you know, the game itself and hitting people and timing and all that. I mean, you're going to be a little bit off. And other than that, that's the best answer I have for you on it.
I'm really interested in what you mentioned about their tackle sniffing out a screen, because we were just talking about the moment on Monday Night Football where they showed Dat Wynn sniffing out a shovel pass on third and goal when the Eagles were up 17-7 and they had to settle for a field goal to go 20-7. How often does that happen where the defense knows what you're doing before you do it? You hear them basically tell you what you're about to run, and then no doubt doubt creeps into your mind, like, should we be calling a timeout right here? And then as a follow-up to that question, how often are they just talking noise over there and they're calling screen every play even though you haven't run a screen all day? Talk us through that.
Well, that happens. It really does happen a lot. Those guys, because most of the time, and really most offenses in the NFL, you get tagged with a certain style. So let's say you're a zone running scheme team, okay? Let's say you're not a power team. So power means that you're running more downhill. There's a lot more double teams. In zone schemes, you're trying to stretch the ball and let it cut up and all these things. Well, you pretty much know, okay, when you're playing this team, and you're gonna check the ball. So you get up there, they've got an idea right now. Okay, we know these guys want to stretch the ball. The defense does. Now, when we try to what we call kill a play or go opposite or change it to something else, they've got a pretty good idea that we're probably either going the other way with it, or, you know, they have an idea what we're going to do just by previous weeks, what we've done before.
Right.
Okay, they're going to kill this. This is, they could do one of three plays here. So the defense has an idea. If they're up on their game and they've studied, they'll have somewhat of an idea. Now, in like Dat's case, Dat's done that ever since I've known him. That guy knows. He sniffs out plays. He does that to us in camp. He's do that to us in college. We'd run plays. I remember we'd run what we call the Y-stick pump, which is the tight end just running a little out and up. And I swear, if we called stick or just the Y out, he would call Y out. We were walking up to the line of scrimmage, he'd call Y out. When we had Y pump or the Y out and up, he would call Y out and up. He'd be like, watch for the Y out and up. You know, this whole crowd. I mean, he knew it every time. And, I mean, it gets frustrating when you're having to practice against the guy. But he's always been that way because he studies so much film, and Dat will never get burned on the same play twice. So if he's seen it once in his career, then it won't ever happen to him again. And
at number four, bad radio, Bob Sturm.